from 1963, when my mom was 5, until 2007, when I was 15, my mom's entire family vacationed together. Parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, everybody. At Berrien Springs, Michigan, at a place called Pennelwood Resort. Before it closed in 2007, Pennelwood was one of the last American Plan resorts in the United States. American Plan resorts sit on huge plots of land with cabins scattered around a central dining hall, and every family has their cabin and comes together to eat 3 times a day. Many of my earliest and best childhood memories come out of those 15 summers at Pennelwood. One night there, when I was probably 5 or 6, there was a massive thunderstorm. And I'm surprised that I wasn't already awake, because at that time, there was nothing more terrible for me than a thunderstorm. But nonetheless, I was sound asleep when my mom came into my room to wake me up. "There's a really big storm outside," she said. "Do we need to hide?" I asked. "No, everything's okay." Now, what adult Ryan would have said after being woken up for no reason cannot be repeated in this sacred space. But surely little Rye Guy just stared dumbfounded at his mother. After a short time, my mom, rubbing her fingers through the hair I used to have, said, "I just want you to know that I'm here. I just want you to know that I'm here." And that phrase has been the theme of her motherhood ever since. When I tripped in a prairie dog hole and rolled down a hill on vacation in Colorado Springs when I was 8, she scooped me up and said, "I'm here." When she heard in advance that I didn't win student council president at Fox Chase Elementary in 2002, she was waiting at our front door when I came home. She held me as I bawled my eyes out, saying, "I'm here." At Mother's Day dinner in 2005, when my parents told my brother and me that they would be getting a divorce and that my dad would be moving out, I ran to my room and slammed the door. And a minute later, my mom came in and knelt by my bed and said, "I just want you to know that I'm here." We have heard in recent weeks that there's no such thing as a ministry of presence. And whether this is really true, or is just another battle in the seminary's war of words, doesn't really matter much in light of the fact that there's no such thing as ministry without being present. And of course, we know that the only way that we are able to be present to another in a spiritual or ministerial way is because we ourselves have been affected by the presence of another. And ultimately, because we are living in such a way that we allow ourselves all the time to be available to and changed by the presence, the one who is the protagonist of history, God, perfectly revealed to us in the person of Jesus. We all know the scriptures. We know that Israel was crazy. We know that the people to whom the prophets spoke struggled with praying like Jews and living like pagans. We know that that ping pong match between covenant and fall is not the way it's supposed to be. We know that it was God who one day, long ago, in total freedom, broke his own silence and spoke into a formless void and created, making himself present. We can see that the first sin of Eve, the mother of all the living, was largely the result of Eve's self-imposed distance from God, a desire to be far from him in hopes that she might become more than him. And we know that it was God who came looking for them in the garden, proving his presence once again. We know that after every sin, every broken promise, every idol crafted, every turn away, that God revealed his presence over and over by speaking to his people. "I am your God, and you are my people." He was present, too, in an angel named Gabriel, who was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And lucky for all of us, Mary was there. She didn't run, she didn't hide, but she allowed herself to be fully present to the movement of God, wondering what sort of greeting this might be. In her nervousness, the angel comforted her by reminding her of the presence of God. "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This one whom you have come to know, the one whom you love and worship and trust, he is with you, and nothing is impossible for him." In other words, "Mary, I just want you to know that I'm here." Prepared for forever from this moment, kept free from the stain of sin, from the moment of her conception, she says the words that all creation had groaned to hear. "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Behold, I am the handmaiden of God. Behold, he is present to me and he has chosen me, and I in my freedom have chosen him." And just like that, the power of the Most High indeed overshadows her. And by her word, the word becomes present to her and through her to us. All through Jesus' hidden life in Bethlehem, Egypt, and Nazareth, at Cana and throughout his public ministry, at the cross, at the tomb, and in the upper room, Mary remains nearly silent. And what she does say boils down to one basic sentence: "I just want you to know that I'm here." Last year on pilgrimage, when we arrived in Nazareth, a few of us spent the first night on the rooftop patio at the convent where we were staying, when a candlelight procession began outside of the basilica. We couldn't see the procession, but for almost an hour, this mostly Muslim town was filled with the soft singing of pilgrims from every part of the globe, gathering in this town once regarded of little import, gathering to magnify the Lord and to rejoice in God the Savior who became flesh in that place. Who could have guessed that some 2,000 years from the night or the day when the angel appeared to Mary, that there would still be people who gather to sing Ave Maria? That really all generations have called her blessed and recognized the one who is mighty and has done great things for us, and that above all, his name remains holy and strong and trustworthy and true. This, brothers and sisters, is our time to call her blessed. This is our time to imitate her faith and her trust and her desire to be fully present and engaged with the will of God. This is our time to bring into the whole world the truth and the life of this man, her son, named Jesus, who was conceived in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, lived and ministered in Galilee and Judea, who was crucified, died, and rose in Jerusalem, who ascended to the Father and now reigns on high. He is the one whose name is blessed. He is the one who has come to save, who has conquered death and forgiven sin, and who brings us even now into a share of his own divine life. And we see a beautiful incarnation of all of this in this building. Cardinal Mundelein and Joseph McCarthy knew what they were doing when they designed this chapel. Dedicated, of course, to the Immaculate Conception, there's no statue, no shrine to her anywhere in here. Yes, I know she's in the painting, but who wants to pray in front of a painting? The cardinal knew that this chapel didn't need a statue, because what is represented here by the Litany of Loretto along its walls speaks far more about Mary than a statue ever could. She's here. She's all around us. She's our mother, and she's here. Yes, she can crush the serpent's head and tell the devil to go to hell. She can whisper those sweet words of love that only moms can. She can wake us up and save us from storms, but her most powerful work is constant and silent. She's here. She's here. And that's enough. When I'm tempted in times of darkness, I'm reminded that my mom is the Stella Matutina, the morning star. When I'm feeling a little lusty, I'm reminded that my mom is the Mater Inviolata, the inviolable one. When I'm in need of courage, I'm reminded that my mom is the Turris Davidica, the Tower of David. In times of difficult discernment, I know that my mom is the Sede Sapientiae, the seat of wisdom. And all of this by the power of God. All of this because God became present to his creation. He made himself known to us in freedom. He is the one who sent us his son, Jesus, who became the savior of the nations, all because one day a virgin in Nazareth was listening. She was present to God, and she said yes. Santa Maria, daughter, virgin, tower, seat, vessel, house, queen, mother, pray for us.